Thank you so much, Brother Fletcher. Appreciate that, and appreciate it also Daly and her special earlier. And it's been just a wonderful, wonderful morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs chapter 24. And I have to tell you, I think I said it to Valerie, but you know, as the preacher in me, I'm always excited to preach, but especially the first message of a series. It seems like it's sort of like getting a brand new car and taking it out for the first time. And this book of Proverbs, I think we're going to really enjoy here this summer, and just some messages that the Lord has laid on my heart. And so we're going to begin here this morning with a topic here, foolproof, the little foxes of slothfulness. I'm going to let you remain seated, but from Proverbs chapter 24 and beginning in verse number 30, our text here this morning says this: I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Let yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And before we continue and before we have a word of prayer, just as a reminder, at the conclusion of our service, we will be observing the Lord's Supper, and we appreciate even you being here for this special service. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and I pray you bless our time together. I pray you'd help me as I try and preach, and Lord, convey what you've laid on my heart about slothfulness. And Lord, we just thank you for the great emphasis we've already had this morning. Lord, may you be glorified. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, foolishness can be dangerous. Take, for instance, a tragedy that happened. The date was June the 28th, 2008, when a 17-year-old by the first name of Asia was riding a ride at the amusement park entitled Six Flags Over Georgia when he died. And as it's been theorized, this young man, his hat blew off his head. And that caused him to do the unthinkable. He scaled not one, but 2 6-foot fences. And he walked past several signs, said, "Do not enter. Danger. Dangerous." And yet it was after he had gone into that territory that he shouldn't have been in, that he didn't see coming at him the roller coaster, traveling at 50 miles an hour. And he was struck and immediately killed. Now, the major theme of the book of Proverbs, I use that illustration for a reason, because the major theme of the book of Proverbs is the fool. And fools and foolishness in various forms, the word actually appears so many times, 189 times, I counted. In just simply the book of Proverbs, you find the word fool or its variant forms. It is a major theme, but let's kind of get something straight. Because most people, they somehow associate here, and they say that that somebody who is a fool is somebody who is stupid. Actually, you can be, by the world's definition, intelligent and still be a fool. You can actually have a degree behind your name. You can have education. Some of the most foolish people are people who are teaching in colleges around the country. Some of the most foolish people are those who have high degrees and are looked to as being sources of truth. You see, the Bible even says it this way in Psalm 14, verse 1, that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Now, what exactly is a fool? Because it's important for our series, Foolproof. That my definition of a fool actually goes along with this illustration, because I want to define a fool, and if we can put it up there, is this: one who ignores God's warning signs, who climbs God's fences, who passes over where God says no trespassing. Had this 17-year-old young man noticed and heeded the warnings, he would not have been killed. You know, I have to say this, it doesn't matter whether it's out of ignorance or just outright rebellion. If you go where God says don't go, it's going to be detrimental to you. And if you do not heed God's word, therefore, you know, there's a whole section of the population upon the earth here today that is foolish because they either don't know or they rebel against what God has said. Therefore, they are a fool. And what I decided to do here this summer is to take our Sunday mornings and to have a series on being foolproof. Now, what do we mean by foolproof? Basically, that's saying be wise. When you say foolproof, usually you are using that term to describe having a plan that will work, a plan that will succeed. And by the way, wisdom always succeeds because God has planned it that way. He is the source of wisdom, and therefore you follow His plan. It will work. You know, I say even to those who came for graduation this morning, what a great challenge, by the way, the other night when we heard from Brother King and Pastor King as he shared with the young people basically about wisdom. I hope that you will always choose to be wise. Now, therefore, we want to have a plan that is foolproof. And this morning, I want to take one topic, and I want to talk about the topic of slothfulness. And therefore, we come to Proverbs chapter 24. And it's interesting in Proverbs chapter 24, if you actually notice very carefully, this is actually the end of the main section of Solomon's wisdom, his Proverbs. You are going to have basically bonus material, bonus Proverbs. The extra section begins with chapter 25 through 31. So therefore, when you get to this particular section, and this is at the end of chapter 24, this is really Solomon's conclusion. He's literally giving a conclusion before the book of Proverbs is going to close. And therefore, we notice what he talks about is he talks about slothfulness as an illustration. He talks about a man who had a vineyard that wasn't kept, a vineyard that was a mess. Now, all of that to say that you and I, this sometimes doesn't relate to us because we live here in the modern day. We don't live with a vineyard. We live in a suburb. And, you know, I notice, you know, all of the nice suburb areas that are around us here in Rosemont and Apple Valley. So if you don't mind, maybe if I could, allow me the liberty of maybe retelling you the story to maybe apply a little bit more close to home. It would be as if Solomon is saying this. I was walking on the sidewalk of Rosemont, Minnesota, when I happened to notice two yards, two houses. One yard, it was perfect. I mean, the grass was green. The grass was cut, freshly cut, trimmed. Now, I mean, there were flower beds and there were no weeds and, you know, everything was just right. And I noticed the house looked like it had a fresh paint job on. And everything there seemed to be perfect and just, it was a great image. And then I happened to go next door and I noticed just the opposite, a dump. And here's a house and boy, the grass is not green, it's brown or dead. And dandelions, I mean, everywhere you look, there are dandelions. And I look, and they got a little fence, but they got a gate, but the gate is broken. And then I looked a little bit more closely, and I noticed chip paint, and I noticed that, you know, there's all sorts of junk in the yard. And it looks like, you know, there's cobwebs, and they just haven't cleaned, and it's not kept up. And I even noticed the window, there's even, you know, a little bit of a broken glass in the window. And I look at this thing, and I even notice there's a man. Now, it's interesting in the story, or actually the verbiage of the proverb, Solomon doesn't mention here the actual words, but really the thoughts of this man. But if we could interview this man in this dumpy area, we would have him maybe make an excuse. And he makes an excuse, and he says, huh, you know, my back hurts. It's too much trouble. It's too much pain to get up. And besides, you know, why do it today? Why not wait until tomorrow? So what he's describing here is a slothful man, a man that is just simply not about to do anything that is going to keep up his property. Again, in Proverbs, it's a vineyard. But just imagine if this were a yard, a home, here in the Rosemont Apple Valley area. Now, all of this to just simply say that as you notice, the problem with slothfulness and the problem in Solomon's summary is the fact that all of this takes place incrementally. And you and I, we need to realize, and Dan was even alluding to this, that you and I need to realize we are living in a world of incrementalism. What is incrementalism? Incrementalism is described literally in verse 33, where the thoughts of this man are this, yet a little sleep a little folding of the hands to sleep, not a lot. Incrementalism is just a little change today and a little bit more tomorrow. Until all of a sudden you notice you've had a big change. That's exactly what has happened in our country. Now, to borrow, by the way, another phrase from another Solomon-inspired book, God-inspired, but Solomon-written book, the book, The Love Story, The Song of Solomon, has a verse in Song of Solomon 2:15 that says it this way, take us the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. In Solomon's day, the foxes incrementally stole the vineyard. They incrementally took a few here and a few there. Now that brings us to the topic now of slothfulness. Because what exactly is slothfulness? And how can I foolproof my life if I am going to be slothful? I am going to be a fool. So how can I foolproof my life? Well, what is slothfulness? You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the term slothfulness. Slothful obviously comes from the creature sloth. A creature that comes from Central and South America in the jungles. And, you know, it's an animal that we oftentimes see at a zoo. It's really this animal, this creature. It's really rather adorably ugly and gangly and hairy. And you notice about even from the picture, it's got these long limbs, these arms and these legs, and really these long claws. But I'll tell you what a sloth is all about. He's all about his life consists of living and hugging a tree. That's what he does constantly. I mean, if you see a sloth, usually that's where they rarely get down on the ground. That they're usually in a tree and they're usually hanging upside down. A sloth minds its own business. It doesn't really move much. In fact, you know, don't you know think that you know you can even you know engage a sloth if you think, well, listen, I'm gonna you know talk to this sloth. You're gonna find the majority of the time this sloth is sleeping. In captivity, sloths will literally sleep 15 to 20 hours a day. The life of a sloth. Now, by the way, this doesn't mean that they are lazy. In fact, I'm going to just simply tell you that I think we need to have a definition, a biblical definition of slothfulness, because many people say, well, they are just lazy. Actually, God designed everything and everybody for a reason, maybe if nothing else, an illustration, but sloths are literally created by God with a low metabolism, and therefore they don't need to eat much, they don't need to move much, and they don't move much, so therefore they have this character trait. But that's how they were created. Now listen carefully to some verses in the book of Proverbs all about slothfulness. Proverbs 12:24 says this, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Meaning that if you are diligent, you'll be the one giving the orders. If you're slothful, you're the one taking the orders. How about this one here, Proverbs 12:27, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Slothful people start projects they never finish. Even something that might be cherished like hunting, that they'll hunt the animal, they'll kill, but they don't dress and they don't prepare it for food. They literally waste everything. Not very good. How about this one here, Proverbs 18, verse 9. "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." You know, men will fail financially for one of two reasons, opposite reasons, but the same result. That one is they don't pursue their profession. You take, for instance, somebody who's selling, let's say, widgets. A widget salesman that doesn't promote, doesn't market, is going to be unsuccessful. They're not going to have sales. They're not going to have revenue. Now, that's one way to fail, is you don't market what you have. You don't promote. You don't really work at it. But there's another, and that is this. You can also work hard. You can make lots of money, but how many times have we seen individuals that make all the money in the world, but they don't have anything left? In fact, they're in debt. In other words, the money just simply slips through their fingers. They spend, they waste. That they don't, they're not careful, they're not frugal, that they don't have a plan, they're not living within a budget, that they just simply are wasters. Now, that's what Solomon says here in this verse, that the one who is diligent and the one who's not, they're brothers. They end up, both of them, in the poorhouse because of slothfulness. How about this one here, Proverbs 19, verse 24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's an incredible comparison and maybe not very fair to a sloth because even sloths eat, but it's describing a slothful man in a general, even an extreme sense that he is so slothful that he doesn't even have the forethought to bring his hand to his mouth to eat. That's too much effort. Slothfulness. Now, what is slothfulness? Many will say it is laziness. It is not. In fact, this morning, I want to say that a slothful individual is one who has acquired a slow metabolism to life, to living, and to responsibility. Really, if you want to put it down, a slothful person is not responsible. And therefore, let me share with you three words that from the book of Proverbs we're going to see are illustration words that show us what a slothful person is. Again, because you might have thought, well, they're just the lazy person. No, they're far more than that. What is a slothful person? First of all, let's use the word tolerance. Because I happen to believe that tolerance is slothfulness. You see, a tolerant person will not fight, will not resist. In fact, it's interesting if you actually go and you can find actually some documentaries, some YouTube videos about everything, including sloths. And you'll find the sloths that when they are attacked, they will only do nothing at first. They will literally just try and camouflage their way away, assuming or hoping that the predator will go away. And if the predator persists, they only slowly move their limbs to try to somehow divert and fight back. There's no real fight. There's nothing at all. You know, can I just simply say that that is an indictment of our present society? Our present society, and by the way, Brother Dan, I had prepared my message before you were coming. But it fits perfectly. Because a slothful person will become tolerant of anything and everything, including the lifestyle, the cultural changes that really are eroding their faith, their beliefs, their freedoms. Have you ever heard of the name John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg? John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, obviously three great names before Muhlenberg, but in 1776 he was a pastor. In fact, he was pastoring two churches at the same time in one town, in Virginia. And he happened to be in town on the day when in Williamsburg, Virginia, across the state, he was there in town when the British, fearing that the colonists were not being subjected enough, they were literally going into the homes of Williamsburg, Virginia, and they were taking all of the weapons out, all of the guns. And by the way, there was a lawyer at the time, you might have heard his name, Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was in Williamsburg, and he then defended and somehow convinced the British authorities, you need to give them back their guns. And they did. They retrieved them. But John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg was in town, and he said, this is the last straw. And it was actually after many other abuses like this that he went, and he went back home to his town on the other side of the state. And the next Sunday was January the 21st, 1776, and he said, my people need to hear about this. This is not right, and this will not stand. John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg was not a pacifist, and he was not tolerant. And on that particular Sunday, as back in those days, the preachers, they all wore black robes. And black clergy robes over the top of their clothing concealed them. And so he came out as he usually did in his black robe. And the church family, they all sat down there and they were going to listen to a sermon. And he took his Bible and he turned to Ecclesiastes 3, the chapter where Solomon says that there's a purpose for everything under heaven, a time and a season and a purpose for everything under heaven. And he read those verses and read down to verse number 8 when he got to the section where he said a time of war and a time of peace. He closed up his Bible and he said, folks, it's no longer a time for peace. He said, it's actually a time for war. And at that point there, he shocked the audience. Normally, these preachers, they would preach their message, and then they would go into a back room, and they would disrobe, take the robe off of them. But in front of his church family, he unrobed himself, revealing underneath a lieutenant uniform in the Continental Army. And he literally announced to the folks, he said, listen, I'm going to fight. He said, I'm going to join General Washington. He said, if any of you are interested in joining me, you can follow me out. And he walked out. And by the way, again, now this is also one of those things. Secular history will no longer teach these stories. Secular history will erase, but this happened. That when this pastor, again, 5 months before the Declaration of Independence, when this pastor announced that he was going to join the cause and to fight, leaving his congregation, he walked out, 300 men followed him. His church. Why? Because there was a man who would stand. There was a man who said, enough is enough. And folks, you know, again, if I can say this, we are living in a day of such pacifism, and we are living in such a day, by the way, where it is expected that we will be tolerant, but they will not. And technically speaking, from what I know, I believe this nation was founded by people who are trying to get away from such abuse to come and be able to worship God freely, and therefore they need to actually realize this nation was founded upon the principle of freedom of religion, not tolerance of everything. And therefore, it is actually slothful on our part if we just simply let this culture rot that is coming in, you know, where you have to be woke and you have to cancel or be canceled. You know, I say fooey on that. What we need to do is we need to stand on the truth. And we need to stand where right is right. And right isn't going to change. Men may change, but God never changes. You know, can I just simply say that you need to be careful about becoming tolerant to the point, because there will come a point where you will no longer have your freedom. That's exactly why John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, well, he simply said, as soon as they're starting to take away the guns, that's the last straw, because he said, I'm going to fight for defense of that right, because that is one of the cornerstones of our nation. You and I, by the way, we better take heed, because they're coming after a lot of things. They're taking away a lot of freedoms. I'm simply saying it is slothful to become tolerant. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and you do anything that is criminal. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting that you be involved. I am suggesting that you pray. I'm saying this morning that, listen, don't let them get by saying what they say without countering it. You need to start speaking out at work. You need to start speaking. Some of you, you need to start speaking out at your school. Some of you, you need to start speaking out with your family. I know that doesn't make for great family gatherings. And by the way, I think there's a wise way to do that. But I am saying it's time we stop becoming just tolerant and letting them take and steal and destroy our great nation. Not only is slothfulness tolerance, but number two, it's also procrastination. You see, sloths are not ever in a hurry to move. In fact, you know, it's one of the interesting things that sloths have a unique character. I don't know of any other creature on the face of the earth that moves so slow that it's not uncommon for sloths to grow mold. Moss grows on them. You can literally see pictures of green sloths because they're just not moving. You know, they're just there. And so grows on their back and grows on their feet and grows on their paws, and they just don't move. Procrastination, by the way, is when you know you ought to do something and do it now and you put it off until tomorrow. Do you procrastinate? Do you put off? By the way, the most important thing not to procrastinate about is salvation. The Apostle Paul had a couple of men that procrastinated their salvation and therefore, sadly, unfortunately, probably never got saved. Felix, who said this in Acts 24:25, he said, "Go thy way this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He was a fool because he said, "I'll call you when it's convenient." Then King Agrippa, who said this in Acts 26:28, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, there are some things that just should not be put off. Salvation is at the very top of the list. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to do it today. Don't wait. Don't say tomorrow. Don't wait until it's convenient. You do it when God is speaking to you today. Not only is slothfulness tolerance and procrastination, but I'll tell you something else, and this might shock you. Tolerance can also be busyness. Now you say, what? Let me clarify. There's nothing wrong with you being busy doing God's will, but the problem is most of our busyness is not. Most of our busyness is just simply busy work. Take, for instance, a sloth. What does a sloth do? A sloth stays in one place. In fact, it's not uncommon for a sloth to literally live its entire life out in one tree. It's not uncommon for a sloth to rarely, if ever, maybe never, go down from that tree. It will literally just simply cling to a tree. It reminds me, by the way, sort of like a hamster that might have a lot of motion on that hamster wheel, but it's not getting anywhere. Does that describe you? I wonder how many times when we are just simply busy and you know, if someone were to ask us, what are you doing? And you can start listing off 10 different things that you're doing, but none of it is doing anything for God. You're slothful. You say, but I'm busy. Yeah, but busyness needs to be busy doing what God wants you to do, not just simply activity. And folks, listen, we need to even heed. You know, C.T. Studd in his famous poem said, "Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." Therefore, as I conclude, you say, well, listen, you know, Pastor, boy, this thing of slothfulness isn't what I thought. You know, I just thought it was laziness, but, you know, to realize it's tolerance and to realize it's procrastinating and to realize sometimes it's busyness, but not busy about what God wants me to do. Pastor, what can I do? I might be slothful. Well, the only thing to do is to repent and to become unslothful. Therefore, instead of tolerating anything and everything, start fighting for the things that are important. Stand up for the truth. Take your stand. We need, you know, again, it may have become unfashionable. And by the way, that's the design of the left, to make patriotism unfashionable, to actually divide us. One of the important things, if you love your country, is to become part of the United States of America and stand for the United States of America. More importantly, stand for the Judeo-Christian values that are represented in this unique nation. Stand for the truth. Stand for your Savior. I loved, as Dan, you know, even shared with us, that. And by the way, we actually need to have people representing us that will not cower when they are told you cannot preach or you cannot pray in Jesus' name. We need to have more people that just simply, they just pray in Jesus' name. Sounds like first century Christianity to me. Instead of procrastinating, don't put off, but do now what you're supposed to do. And then instead of just being busy, determined, maybe I need to refocus, maybe I need to reprioritize, and maybe I need to take an inventory. And this thing here, that busyness is not getting me anywhere, not with God. Then those things you need to then set aside and focus on doing God's will. Again, let's try and be foolproof this summer. And let's deal with slothfulness. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. And as Christians are praying, and Valerie, if you go to the piano and just prepare to play this morning, I know this message, it convicts me. It convicts me here to just simply reevaluate again. What is slothfulness? Slothfulness could be tolerance. Slothfulness could be procrastinating. Slothfulness, it could be even just being busy but not busy doing what God wants us to do. Are you slothful this morning? Have you been dealing with slothfulness? Again, during this summer, great time for us to focus on becoming foolproof, becoming wise, basically, this morning. I trust maybe we need to repent and say, God, that spoke to my heart in that area in my life. Now, I've been just simply tolerant, or I've been procrastinating. I know there's something I need to do. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior, maybe this morning you need to come down to the front and see one of the men and just simply say, I want to trust Christ today. But let's not be slothful. Let's all stand, and as she plays, you step out and come. Slothfulness. Let's be foolproof this summer.